Isaiah chapter 58. You know, when you look at the word of God, especially as we look tonight, we've been watching Israel and Judah. And he's going to be speaking tonight about the right and wrong observances of feasts and Sabbath days. The way they would hold their feasts and the way they would not only do their Sabbath days, but they broke their Sabbath days. Everything they did, fasting to Sabbath days, which means the seventh day they would rest, it was all to cover their sin. They were doing the outward instead of the inward. You know, there's a lot of people like that today that, you know, deep inside they're empty, and yet they go to some religious event or church just to make sure that God thinks they're doing the right thing, and also to deceive people that I'm okay, there's nothing wrong with me. And here the Lord, I mean, it's just incredible, because the prophet here is going to not only instruct them that Jehovah was God, and as he's talking about Jehovah being God, all of a sudden you hear a loud cry that comes about the powerful voice of God. Look at verse 1. He says, "Cry out loud, spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet," the chafar, the Hebrew chafar here, which the trumpet was an instrument of warning, to warn the people of sin. "Tell my people their transgressions," notice, "in the house of Jacob their sins." I wonder if God today is blowing the trumpet to the people all over the world. But this is not the people of the world. These were God's people. God's people, they were lying to God, and they thought they could lie to God, playing the role of believers, but they were not really living the life of a believer. They're going through the outward emotions, but inwardly, they were dead. Their first love was gone. And then notice again in verse 2, he says, "Yet they seek me daily." They seek me every day. "And delight to know my ways." So they're seeking me and they want to know my ways, "as a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake." Notice the ordinances of their God. "They ask of me the ordinances of justice, and they take delight in approaching God." A nation that is guilty of sin. Formality, hypocrisy. The people sin against God by his laws. They use his laws to sin against God. Just like today, we read the Bible, and people read the Bible, and what do? They use it to sin against God. To sin against God. When I was reading this, it reminded me of just the way the world is and the way the church has come to that place where we want to keep ordinances that God's given to us, but at the same time, we break those things that the Bible speaks about, so we use it just for ourselves, but never for God. He says again in verse 2, "They seek me daily." Notice this. He says, "They delight to know my ways." The nation is a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinances of their God. They ask of me their ordinances of justice, and they take delight in approaching God. "And why we fasted," they say, "and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice? In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your labors." Hypocritical formalism here. Trusting in the Lord, but at the same time, it wasn't a true fast. They were fasting, but not a true fast of denying yourself to get close to the heart of God. That's not the way it was. But fasting here had a great part of the nation. In the life of the nation, not only into not drinking or water or, you know, keeping away from food for a day or two, whatever it was, but it was a practice of fasting by weeping, by confession of sins, and prayer. And prayer. How can you do that when you're not really believing what God's word says? Weeping, confession of sins, and praying to God when God is no longer listening to your prayers. There's no communion between you and God. He says, "Indeed you fast, for strive and debate." And you strike with the fist of the wickedness, which means people were making their fists open and they were not only hitting people, but also there was strife in among the people, contention among themselves. They couldn't even get along in their own lives. He says, you will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. So the purpose of fasting was to get something from God. Lord, I'm fasting, so I'm fasting for this, and now you're going to give it to me. We don't fast to get things. We fast to deny ourselves, not to get something from God. When you fast, and first of all, before you fast, you better check with your doctor if you have some issues, physically. Don't just do it because, you're going to get yourself in trouble. But when you really fast before the Lord, you don't eat. And maybe you eat three meals or you just drink water one day. And all of a sudden, like Jesus, he prayed and fasted for 40 days. If you do that while visiting, I'll probably do your funeral by that time. But I won't recommend it. But think of all the people when they fast. And when you really, truly fast before the Lord, it's really a battle between you and Satan. Why? Because when you fast, you start thinking of 31 flavors. You start thinking of In-N-Out, McDonald's, whatever it is. Sin comes along and he begins to tempt you to break that fast. Now, if you break your fast, don't feel condemned. We're human. We're human. Try again the next day. But so many times people, when they're fasting and something happens in their lives, they get tempted and they eat something, all of a sudden they get condemned. They feel like, you know what, I'm not a good Christian and I've betrayed God and I turned my back on God. That's not true. When you come to God for fasting, is this denial of myself. Listen, to get close to the heart of God. To get close to the heart of God. In today's world, there's religions that fast all the time. But I wonder if the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ today, and even among us today, when is the last time that we fasted for something that the Lord can give to me spiritually? Not physically, but spiritually. Lord, I have this situation in my life. Maybe it might be cursing, maybe be watching dirty movies, whatever it is. And say, Lord, I'm not going to eat. I'm only going to drink water because I want you, Father, to touch my life as I deny myself to you. The denial of my flesh. Say, Lord, here am I. And praying, spending the day in prayer, drinking water and not eating food. Or you can fast one meal and eat two meals. It depends on your heart. You don't have to get in bondage. It's not a law. Just do it out of your heart, one meal, two meals, three meals, whatever you want to do. And so here they were putting up an act. We're fasting and we're seeking God, but it was not true. They were playing the role. Notice verse 5. It is a fast that I have chosen. Notice this. The response to the question, why have you fasted? It is fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul. It is to bow down his head like a bulrush, and to spread out sackcloth and ashes, would you call this a fast and an acceptable day of the Lord? They were making these things to have people think that they were spiritual. Spiritual. There's a lot of churches like that. A lot of people within churches, probably in this church too, that they do things hourly. Somebody will come to you and say, hey, let's go to lunch. Oh, no, I'm fasting. And you make the face, I'm fasting. Well, that's hypocritical. You just don't say nothing. Let's go to lunch. And then you fast the next day. But don't allow yourself for people to see the outward thinking you're spiritual, like the Pharisees. The Pharisees were just like that. They would put up an act so that people would think, look how spiritual they are. And that's not the way of the cross of Jesus Christ, and that's not the way of the church. Verse 6. Is this not the fast that I, the Lord, challenges them here. They're hypocritical people. That I've chosen to loose the bonds of wickedness. Notice that. You should fast to get rid of sin. To get rid of sin. Notice. He says to undo heavy burdens, to let oppressed go free, that you break every yoke. It is not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out. When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. So here he's talking about also fasting and helping the poor and those people in need. That's one thing that I get blown away by. You know, when you drive the freeways, you get out from the off ramps, and now you have all these people, you know, with a little can, and they're asking for money. And then I ask, okay, Lord, which are real people and which are phonies? You know, that are just wanting to get money for alcohol or drugs. And it's very hard to discern. And many times the Lord can speak to your heart and say, you know what, go ahead and help them. But what I like to do is go and buy some food, like go to the In-N-Out or whatever, get their hamburgers, and then take them and hand it to them. And that's better than giving them money. Then they can feed themselves. Unless you really know they're not going to buy alcohol or drugs, then you can do that. But here God speaks to them. Verse 8, then your light shall break forth like the morning here. So you're responding to the blessing, the reward for conduct. He says, your healing shall spring forth speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be, notice, your rear guard. Your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. Notice that. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. So when you're doing it for the purpose of really seeking the Lord, then God is going to be in fellowship with you. You enter into fellowship with God. Here the condition that he wants to give to them, he will answer them if they live godly lives, not ungodly lives. If you're living by faith and you want to be obedient to God, and you really mean it, I want to be obedient to God, I want to live a life of holiness, then we enter into fellowship with God, and then God says, okay, what do you need in your life? And as you pray, and as you fast, deny yourself, then God will come through. Verse 10, if you extend your soul to the hungry, notice what he says, Jehovah here lays down one of the great conditions. If you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The testimony, the witness. The Lord will guide you continually. Notice this. Three additional blessings here that's pronouncing upon the upright. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones, and you shall be like a water garden and like a spring of water whose water does not fail. He says, I'm going to keep you satisfied. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to bless you. Verse 12, those from among you shall build in all ways, nor speaking your own words. So this may refer here to the physical rebuilding after the return of the captivity, the temple. Some they say that it might be the rebuilding of the temple that he's talking about here in that verse. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. Notice this. And I will cause you to ride on the high hill of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. He says, this is what God says, and this is what God will do. So he's promising through his word. And then notice chapter 59. Now he's going to get into this whole thing. Here God will call the people to repentance, because even though he spoke to them about turning away from sin, they go back into sin. He says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, which is a promise of what? Salvation. That it cannot save, nor his ear is heavy, which means God will hear you. He's not going to go like this. He's going to hear your prayer. They cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Sin separates me from God. The problem is sin. And your sins have hid his face from you. His face is hidden from you, so that he will not hear you. Notice that. You cannot have communion with God. You cannot have fellowship with God because of your sin. For your hands are defiled with blood. Notice sinful actions here, words that were charged against the people. For your hands are defiled with blood, in your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue has muttered perversity. Hands, fingers, lips, and tongues. He lays out their sins. You sin with your hands, you sin with your fingers, you sin with your lips, and you sin with your tongues. How sad that is. But here he's talking about that. No one calls for justice. Notice what he says here. Judges that are impartial with people, that you go to court and they play favorites, or they're not being just in their meeting with people and passing these laws, or, you know, contradicting what they say. No one calls for justice, nor does any plea for truth. They don't speak truth with the people. He says they trust in empty words and they speak lies. Notice the concern for truth. They conceive evil and they bring forth sin, iniquity. Notice what he says here. Sinful places in the court systems. They hatch viper's eggs and wave the spider's web. Notice here, in the scripture there is poisonous snakes. He who eats of their eggs dies. From that which is crushed, a viper breaks out. Their webs will not become garments, nor will they recover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity. Notice that. And the act of violence is in their hands. They go out and commit acts of violence. He says, their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Everything in their mind is sin. Sin, sin, sin. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. So you think about people today, you know, watching movies, you know, reading magazines, on your phone, in the internet. All these things that can pollute and destroy your mind with evil. God's indictment. Your feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. So, I mean, how can you have thoughts of iniquity when you're watching dirty things? When you're listening to dirty things? When you're reading dirty things? And then you're doing dirty things. Their thoughts are thoughts of sin. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they have not known. And there is no justice in their ways. Notice, the wicked have not known the ways of peace, God's ways. There's only fulfillment in Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can not only save you, but he can give you peace. He's the only one that opens the doors and closes the doors to protect you. And how many times we want to push ourselves through those doors and God says, no, I shut them. But you force your way through and God says, you're on your own now. You're going to learn big lessons. Because he continues in that same verse, they have made themselves crooked paths. Notice that. Whoever takes the way shall not know peace. So whenever you deviate from the path of God, you're never going to have peace. You're going to go your own way. And when you go your own way, you're going to sin, and then you're going to reap to your sin. And sometimes it's so hard to reap to our sins. When people come to counsel with me, you know, they want to counsel about their relationship with God. And they always want to hear something that will appease them. You know, something that's going to bring peace to their lives. But what's amazing is even though you counsel with them, and when I counsel with them, it's not my opinion, it's the Word of God. And when you bring the Word of God, they don't want to hear it. You know why? It convicts them. They always want to make excuses for their sin. Excuses for their sin. But a person that really comes to counsel through the Word of God is a person that is transformed and changes because he repents. And when he leaves that office, he's not going to be the same. Not be the same. But he's going to change. He's going to take God's counsel. He's going to take the counsel from the Word of God. Because my counsel means nothing. Your counsel means nothing to me. But the counsel of God, man, it counts for everything we do. And that's why a lot of people do not have peace in their lives. Because they listen to everybody else, but don't listen to God. We need to listen to God in his ways, because his ways are not our ways. Verse 9 of the prophet's reply here a confession, notice, of wickedness here in response to God's accusation, verses 9 to 15 now. Therefore, justice is far from us, speaking of the nation, the people of God. Nor does righteousness overtake us. We look for the light, but there is darkness. Notice what he's saying here. For brightness, but we walk in blackness. I mean, they want to see the light, but they can't see the light. They're in darkness. But the moment they turn on the lights, the darkness, what? Is gone. It vanishes. It's no longer there. That's the way sin is. When we live a life of sin, we're in darkness. But as soon as we give our lives back to the Lord, we repent and we walk back into the light, the darkness is gone immediately. Immediately. And here God is saying, therefore, justice is far from us. Nor does righteousness overtake us. We look for light, but there's darkness. For brightness, but we walk in blackness. We grope for the wall like a blind man. You ever been where you're looking for the switch? That's what they were doing. Look. And we grope as if we had no eye. We stumble at noonday and at the twilight. We are as dead men in desolate places. Notice what he's describing here. He's describing so many backslidden Christians today. So many. Where at one time they knew where the light was and they turned on the switch. But because they've been so long in the world, so long in the world in darkness, that when they come into the darkness, they're already in darkness and they're looking for the light, they have to look for the switch. Because they don't know the place they're in. In your home, if it's darkness, you know where the switch is. But when you walk into a place where you don't know the switch are, you're going to grope and you're going to touch the wall to look for the light. Verse 11, he says, we all growl like a bears and moan sadly like doves. We look for justice, but there is none. For salvation, but it's far from us. Salvation, the gift of God. The Jews were going through all the rituals, and yet they had no peace. No peace. Today, when you go to Israel, and you see the Orthodox Jews, the one with the curls, the black hats, and they got the tassels around by their belts. These people, they're actually at the Wailing Wall. And they believe that they're religious, and they believe they're the only ones that are in contact with God. And they're like the Pharisees. Everything they do is to be seen by men. Everything they do. And when they pray at the Wailing Wall, if you ever fly LL Airlines, which is the Jewish airline, right in the morning, in the afternoon, they'll get up from their seat. They'll have their little, wrapped around their prayer little string here, and they'll have their little hat, and they'll have their little books, and they'll go to the back of the plane, and they look into the east, and they start bowing like this, bowing and praying. And they do repetitious prayers. And they think that they're actually reaching God. But like the Pharisees, they want it to be seen by men. I would be embarrassed to be standing up and bowing all over the place in a plane where everybody's watching you. But they don't care. They do not care. They've been doing it so long, man. They do not care. And they teach their children to do the same thing. The same thing. How about Christians? You go to a restaurant. You're eating with some Christians, and I've been there, believe me. And somebody thinks, you ask them to pray, they think they're spiritual. And they get up, Father, we thank you. And everybody's in the restaurant looking at you right away. And they look at you as, man, what's going on here? You know, because you want to be seen by men. You want to impress people that you're spiritual. But we need to be careful. We need not to make people stumble. You know, we don't have to pray out loud. You can bow your head and you can pray. Because what happens is people that might be looking for God and they see us doing that, instead of bringing them to the cross, we're pushing them away from the cross. And salvation is the free gift of God. It is only by the Holy Spirit convicting people. None of us and none of the people that we don't know could ever come to Christ because of us. It is the conviction of the Holy Spirit. As a person has been dealing with the Holy Spirit, what do? They come to church or they go one of the crusades And as they're sitting there listening to the music, listening to the word of God, all of a sudden the message comes forward and the message pierced their hearts. And when decision comes times, they stand up and they go forward. But as they go forward, do they really mean it? Because there are people that will go forward in a crusade, they'll get a Bible, they'll pray, get a Bible, and then they'll leave, go home, and then they look for a little church or whatever, or maybe they don't think they have to go to church. And maybe the experience lasts a week, or maybe a month, or maybe 2 months, and all of a sudden they're right back into the world. Remember the parable that Jesus gave of the seed? The farmer takes the seed, he throws it out. He says, and there are four types of believers: those that don't have faith, those that are emotional, those that love the world, and then the true believers that bring forth 30, 60, and 100-fold in fruit. A real believer brings forth fruit in his life. People that don't have fruit in their lives, I would doubt they're Christians. Because real people that are truly have had salvation in their lives, if you've experienced salvation in your life, you cannot be the same the person you used to be before. You can't. It's impossible. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, Paul says that a real believer, to understand, he says, if you're a father and you have children, and you're out playing with your children, and all of a sudden one of your child starts running out into the street and there's cars coming by, you just barely catch him before he gets hit. And then you take him and you discipline him because you love him. In the same way, if you're a real believer, you can't get away with anything because God will spank you. And God has many ways of spanking people. I've seen it. Many ways of spanking people. So for me, in my own personal life, I know when God is spanking me. I know when he spanks me. Do you know when God spanks you? Do you take salvation not only as the gift of God, but do you honor salvation as God has saved you and is using your life to bring glory and honor to his holy name? That's what God desires in each one of our lives. If you want to really be a believer, if you really want God to use your life, then you have to be real in your conversion, in your confessing of your sins. One of the things that happens with all of us, it happened with me, when I accepted Christ, my brother, my sister, my mom, my dad, all of the people that I knew, the first thing they did is they sit and they watch. They watch. A month, 6 months, even up to a year. And they want to see if there's really a true conversion. True conversion. And when you have a true conversion, like Dale, like Joseph Elias, like Don Hubble, Dave Shorter, all my friends that have come to this church and they have been saved, it was because they saw a change in my life. True conversions. True conversions. How many people come to the Lord because of your life? Because they see Christ in your life. Do they really believe what you've done in your life by coming by faith and accepting Christ into your life? And is the Holy Spirit transforming you? Are you changing by the things that you hear, by the things that you see when you go into your computer and whatever else you do? Verse 12, for our transgressions are multiplied before you. Notice that. Speaking here for the people, the prophet confesses here about how they're stumbling people. And our sins testify against us. So you see, the sins, they were convicting them. For our transgressions are with us. As for our iniquities, we know them. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm listening to. I know what I'm watching. I know the way I'm walking. No one has an excuse if you've accepted Christ in your life. The problem with many people also, they come to Christ and all they do is they pray every morning. They read their Bible, but they never get into fellowship with God by sitting in a church and receiving the Word of God so that you can develop and grow in God's Word. You can't sit at home. It's not the same. You come to church because you want to be in fellowship with people. You want to be live in the house of the Lord so that God can speak to my life. And as he speaks to my life, then I can say, you know what? I tell you all the time, when you come here tonight, don't leave the same person when you came in here different. Be different. because you've listened to the word of God and because you want to obey God's word. That's a difference. Verse 13. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, notice their transgressions here, which are so evident even today. And departing from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. They were lying. Notice that. Justice is turned back. Righteousness stands afar off. We're righteous by what? Faith in Jesus Christ. For truth is fallen in the streets, and the iniquity cannot enter. So God's people were troubled, notice, in trouble. And they were being a bad witness to other people and nations, just like the church today. You see, God chose Israel to be a light to all the nations of the world, just like the church is to be what? A light to the whole world. And what did Israel do? They started worshiping other gods like the nations of the world. Their light went out. And here they're backsliding before God, and God is calling them back to himself. And the people here are trying to come back, but sin is so deep in their lives that they can't return to the Lord and to this true repentance. He says again, 14, justice is turned back. Righteousness stands afar off. For truth is fallen in the streets, and iniquity cannot enter. So truth fails. And he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice or no judgment. Jehovah's response here, vengeance, notice, and deliverance. And then God saw, notice, that there was no intercessors. He saw that there were no men praying, interceding, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him. Notice what he says here. God moved his sovereignty. We notice that God is looking here for a man to become an intercessor, but he could not find one man. Ezekiel said the same thing, that God was looking not for 50 or 100 or 10,000 or a million people, one person that would stand in the gap and pray. One person. Today, God is looking for one person. Can you imagine if every single one of us every day would pray for Calvary Chapel, would pray for Washington, D.C., for our government, to pray for one another? I believe that there would be different things that would be happening today. In the old days when Calvary Chapel started, you know what we used to do? We used to put a piece of paper on our refrigerators. And Chuck would say, remember, when you go to the refrigerator, pray for Calvary Chapel. Pray for Calvary Chapel. Pray for Calvary Chapel. I believe because of prayer, the hippie movement blew up because people were praying. Praying all the time. You might want to consider that. Put me in your prayer list every day. Put Calvary Chapel and pray for Calvary Chapel so that God can continue to do tremendous work within each one of our lives, sustaining us. And then he says, verse 17, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate, a helmet of salvation. Paul talks about it in the book of Ephesians. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Remember what Paul says? Put on the whole armor of God. Here he says, in conflict with injustice, transgression, and sins, God assumes the role of what? A warrior. Verse 18. According to their deeds, according to he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, the coastless he will fully repay. So here they will receive according to their attitude toward God and their deeds which follow them. Verse 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, his glory from the rising of the sun, the east, when the enemy comes in like a flood, and the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. You see there, when the enemy comes in like a flood, who's that? Satan. Satan is the greatest fisherman, of sin you have ever seen. He has every type of bait to throw it out and capture just about anybody. And then he says the Spirit of the Lord will lift up the standard against him. And then he says, verse 20, the Redeemer Jesus will come to Zion, speaking of the future. And those who turn from their transgressions in Jacob, if you repent, saith the Lord. Notice what he says. As for me, saith the Lord, this is my covenant with them, my Spirit who is upon you, and my words which I have put into your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants and descendants, saith the Lord, from this time and forever and forever. Now let me go back to verse 20 for a second at the beginning. He says, the Redeemer will come at Zion, and those who turn from their transgression. Now what is transgression? It's a willful act against God. You know that it's wrong, and you do it. The word sin means missing the mark, out of ignorance. But transgression is when you think about it, and you plan it, and then you do it. Even when the Holy Spirit is saying, don't do it. So here he says, the Redeemer will come to Zion, and to those who turn from their transgressions in Jacob. Remember Jacob's name was changed to what? To Israel. Jacob's name, heel catcher, conniver, schemer. The name Jacob in the Bible is used more than Israel, because Israel, when his name was changed, means what? Governed by God. Governed by God. How we need all to be Israel. Governed by God. If we're not governed by God, then we're going to be governed by the world, by the flesh, and Satan. Three things. Three things that will dominate our lives. And I would pray for your kids, for my grandkids, that the blessing of God would come upon them and upon us as a congregation. Father, we pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, Jesus. Lord, that you would continue to speak to us, Jesus. That your name would be exalted. And Lord, that those that are groping in darkness, Lord God, that you would touch their lives and open their eyes to the light, Jesus. Lord, for anyone visiting with us tonight here, Jesus. Lord, for our loved ones, we pray for those that are lost, Jesus. And just as everybody's praying for one another, praying for your loved ones and friends, especially those that are here tonight. If you came here tonight because somebody loves you and they brought you here, or maybe you ran into the church and you came here tonight to see what was happening, it doesn't really matter. If there's anybody here that is not a Christian, which means you've never been born again of the Holy Spirit, and that can only happen when you repent of your sins. And the Holy Spirit convicts you of your sins, then you can humble yourself before Him. And you can pray a simple prayer and say, Jesus, come into my life. If you're here tonight, I'm going to ask you, young, old, I don't care who you are, to stand to your feet, come up here to the front, and I'm going to pray with you tonight. Awesome. You guys repeat after me this prayer, okay? Pray with me. You pray with me too. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for all my sins. I confess to you that I have sinned against you. I ask you to cleanse me, to wash me by your blood. And I receive you tonight as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name we pray these things, Lord. Amen. They're going to give you a Bible. Go right to these guys.